Hey guys, we had a wild ride today where Stephen Miller's wife went on television and got into an argument with somebody and threatened to have his citizenship revoked, I guess. I don't know. It's wild. Here, I want to cue this up right now. We are on the Piers Morgan Show. We have Katie Miller, wife of Stephen Miller, and she is on with Cenk Uygur, and things devolve quick.
Hold on. So what happened in the Holocaust and all the pogroms were disgusting. That doesn't mean that is.
So Andrew, the wife of maybe the most powerful man, certainly the most powerful unelected man in America, says that she hopes that this guy who she's angry with has all of his citizenship papers were in order, because otherwise he's going to be something like Ilhan Omar. I mean, that seems totally cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we are seeing just more and more now, right? I mean, it obviously very strongly reminded me of that video we saw the other day of a federal immigration official being pulled over seemingly drunkenly on the side of the road and immediately pivoting into the exact same kind of talk about the ambiguously ethnic police officer who he was interacting with, basically saying like, "Oh, are you Haitian or something? We're gonna have to check out your papers.
Are you Haitian?
That's nothing to do with my wrist, buddy.
My question was, are you Haitian?"
This is very much just in the water now, right? And it's a totally insane thing to say just 10 months into this second term. But that is how quickly this has kind of become the air we breathe and the water we drink. It's an insane clip for a couple. There's basically two things, right? I mean, obviously you just alluded to who her husband is, right? Katie Miller herself is a very strange kind of like bit player in the MAGA movement, kind of under her own auspices. Her whole thing, formerly she's actually a Mike Pence staffer. She was his comms director for a couple of years, believe it or not. Kind of a weird
Oops.
Way to roll that back. Yeah. That was kind of, you know, as she was, she met and then married Stephen Miller during the first Trump term. So they kind of came together in
Aww,
that respect.
Love finds
I know. You love to see these things blossom in this way. She worked for Doge for a while. She was kind of an Elon head. I believe I have this correct, that it was sort of understood that she was going to leave the government when Elon did and go and work just for Elon after that, at that point. But then she pivoted away from that and she launched this soft focus kind of like ladies podcast, right? Like,
well, Elon got on
for the conservative gals.
Right. I mean, Elon left under bad terms and started implying that the president of the United States was a pedophile. And if you want to be on the inside of Trump, you couldn't then go and work directly for Elon. Right.
Yeah. He also has the whole like trying to chat up all of the young women who work for him about potentially having his children sort of thing that tends to happen with Elon.
Sure.
So who knows? It could be any number of reasons why Katie Miller would pivot away from kind of the Elon verse. So she has this podcast now, this Katie Miller podcast, where she basically like interviews prominent right wing celebrities, you know, coworkers of her husband, Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, to like ask them like softball questions about their lives. It's very much like the sort of bubblier, friendlier, more sort of cheery and harmless side of MAGA in a lot of ways. But it's this woman. I mean, it's this person who is at the same time going on, you know, news debate shows to throw around these sorts of threats against sort of naturalized U.S. citizens. So it's a very strange kind of, she's a very strange person in the firmament, and it's a very sort of unsettling thing to see, you know, the way that everybody's just kind of talking this way now.
I want people to be able to see what this looks like. Here is Katie Miller in the launch of her Soft Focus podcast, which is just about creating a space for conservative women, conservative moms to gather together and hear about a diversity of political viewpoints.
Hi, I'm Katie Miller. Welcome to my podcast and welcome to my living room. You may be wondering what I'm doing here hosting a podcast. It seems these days just about everyone has a podcast. For years, I've watched from the sidelines as people I know, people I respect, have hosted TV shows, radio shows, podcasts, you name it. And I thought, hey, I could do that too. And why? Because for years I've seen that there isn't a place for conservative women to gather online. There isn't a place for a mom like me, mom of three young kids, 4, 3, and almost 2, and a wife and trying to do a career, eat healthy, work out, there isn't a place for a mom like me. And so I wanted to create that space where we have real, honest conversations with people across the political spectrum and across the world to get lifestyle information, news, laugh with our friends, gossip about what's going on in the world from our perspective.
For somebody who's done comms and media, not super comfortable on camera, you're allowed to take your hands up off of your knees, Katie. That's okay. Although I do like the set design. She's lit very well. I room rate that a 10-10. I think it's great. It's got a little bit of green in the background. It's always good. You always need a touch of green somewhere. Yeah, look at you. Look at you, Andrew Egger. Here is the kind of soft focus, hard-hitting journalism she does on that podcast with the sitting vice president of these United States, J.D. Vance.
And if you could have dinner with three people, living, dead, alive, what do you got? Who are the three people you're inviting to dinner?
Okay. Three people I'd invite to dinner. Let's say Isaac Newton, Donald Trump, and Abraham Lincoln.
Who's monopolizing the conversation?
I'm not going to answer that.
I don't want to be pedantic here, but it is my understanding that these questions, who would you eat dinner with, anyone living or dead, the point is not to name somebody who you already have had dinner with and with whom you are often going to have dinner. Like, for instance, if I asked you, who would you want to have dinner with, anyone living or dead, name three people, you shouldn't say my wife, because you and your wife have dinner every night, Andrew. And I appreciate that you might want to have dinner with her more than anyone else. You would rather have dinner with her than Jesus Christ himself. But for the purposes of this as an interview question, we can leave that unsaid. Like, we just say, yes, we can stipulate that you love your wife the most. J.D. Vance does not believe that he can stipulate that I love Donald Trump the most. And so he has to include Donald Trump in his three people.
Yeah.
It is funny to me that he makes Trump second, because again, this is a clearly thought out response. He can't say Trump's name first, because that would look too thirsty and desperate. And he sure can't put Trump's name last, because Trump might notice that he made him last. Got it. Got to put Trump's name second. Okay. Yes. All right.
I also love the follow-up question there about like who he thinks would dominate the conversation, which is obviously Donald Trump. he's not gonna say that in the answer. But in J.D. Vance's absolute, sort of like wildest fantasy, apparently, according to this question, what he wants to do for an evening is sit down and hear Donald Trump browbeat those other two guys for a several course meal. It sounds like a great time to me personally.
What a phony human being. J.D. Vance.
Yeah. I mean, there's one other thing about this. You get the idea, right? This is the idea of the podcast, right? And it's interesting. It's sort of like she kind of occupies a similar space in sort of like the MAGA psychodrama as somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Obviously different in that Marjorie Taylor Greene is a lawmaker. She has direct power of her own. But the brand is of a sort of like normal seeming lady, right, who is going to sort of reach out to all of the other like normal ladies of the Republican and right-leaning America who might be a little turned off, might be a little put off by all of the kind of like insane stuff that's happening, all of this, especially, you know, the way so much of it sort of like performatively drips testosterone. And it's like, no, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's just this nice CrossFit lady. Katie Miller, she's this nice podcaster. You know, we're just like you. And they kind of launder it, right? They package it in a way that's more palatable to these people who might be put off by like the Ted Cruz experience or something like that.
I reject this comparison because I think that my girl Marjorie Taylor Greene is genuinely herself. I don't think there's a phony bone in her body. I think she has been on a heck of a journey over the last decade or so in like her personal life and in political life and in life. And Katie Miller just seems like somebody on the make, but who can I say?
No, sure. And I mean, look, she's obviously like just kind of trying to create this brand for herself. And I think that's right. True. I think that's a fair, but I just mean in terms of their sort of like utility to the MAGA machine. They occupy a similar space in that respect, or at least maybe that's like what Marjorie Taylor Greene kind of her political arrival maybe was that I think she has sort of evolved in her political brand in a lot of ways.
So but, I want to go back to the her little fight with Cenk here. I am not a connoisseur of Cenk Uygur, but I triggered in my mind. I was like, I know this guy. Where do I know him from? And wind back the clock with me just 11 months ago, Andrew. And after Donald Trump's election, Cenk, who was always a Bernie type guy, he was already moving along the horseshoe. He got all the way up to the tippy top of the horseshoe because when Elon Musk was in charge of Doge, Cenk reached out to Elon and was like, hey, put me in charge of the Pentagon. And Elon did Senpai notice me and said, okay, what are your suggestions? And Cenk just went nuts over this. He thought it was the greatest thing in the world and a sign of the really awesome, healthy populism that Trump was bringing with him and some of the Democrats who are should learn from. And I want to read you a Cenk tweet from this period in time. Now, which side seems more open and inclusive? Which side seems more welcoming? And which side tries really hard to drive you away if you disagree even a little with orthodoxy? Which side is asking for suggestions and which one is demanding compliance and obedience? Which side indeed? Which side indeed? And this is a thing that a lot of the anti-antis, and I'm not saying Cenk is one of them, but a lot of people get mixed up on. And they're like, well, there are annoying progressives on Twitter who are mean to me, and that's really bad. Not understanding that it is bad, but not nearly so bad as, say, people who work inside the government saying that they're going to go through your papers and try to revoke your citizenship. That seems a little bit worse.
Yeah. We have very firmly arrived now in sort of like the Stephen Miller vibes era of the White House. The Elon Musk era had its own downsides, its own idiosyncrasies. But I guess I could see how a guy like Cenk could look at it and be like, maybe, you know, you never know. Sky's the limit. We are very far past that now. The thing I want to dwell on again with the fact that Katie Miller went there, you know, today, it was very much like it was an ad lib, right? I mean, it was like an under duress kind of moment on cable TV. This kind of thing can happen, right? I mean, she kind of feels like her back's against the wall in the argument they're having about Israel or whatever, and she kind of lashes out in this way, and that's like revealing.
That's when you find out what people really think.
Yeah. Right. And just like the default move for these guys increasingly is like, oh, look, this guy's really bothering me. Is there anything we could do to just kind of get him out of here? Just get him off the stage. I don't want to look at his face anymore, you know, on this TV panel or in the country. And I mean, like he is a naturalized citizen, right? I mean, he has become one. They did that already. The U.S. approved that. And the idea that like, because he's now bothering her on a panel, she's going to like go get the MOOCs to go over it and make sure, you know, there weren't they dotted every I and crossed every T. That's astonishing. Like that's just the kind of the way it is these days. Right. I mean, that's the way it is throughout the government. That's the way they have approached, you know, various opponents like Adam Schiff or, you know, Fed governors that they want to get out of there. So it's all really astonishing.
Final question. Andrew, before we wrap this up, do we take this sort of threat seriously, or is this just the MAGA equivalent of, I'd like to speak to the manager, except that the manager happens to be Katie Miller's husband?
Yeah, I don't think we need to take it seriously in the sense that, you know, Cenk Uygur actually needs to like start making alternate plans for his future. But I do think we need to take seriously like the impulse that it is. That kind of undergirds that threat, because this is just a mode of thought in which the president and the people around the president are increasingly comfortable living right now. It's not like she reached deep down into her psyche to pull this out, right? I mean, it was just kind of sitting there waiting for her to need a weapon to hit him with in that moment. You know what I mean?
It's not a thing that would occur to most people, right? Unless you've put thought into denaturalization as a tool, I don't think that's something that would jump to mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it doesn't come out of left field as a policy matter either. I mean, like we were just talking a minute ago about just sort of the way that they are doing this, this sort of thing for political enemies, just like what files do we have on them? What stuff is in sort of like the various government filing cabinet drawers that we can pull out and rifle through and find something to make stick on any of our political enemies? There's that. But then there are also all of the like actual immigration policy changes that they are contemplating all the time. And nobody knows more about any of that than Stephen Miller, right? I mean, the trying to get rid of birthright citizenship.
Birthright citizenship.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like it is
heritage Americans. So, they're much more interested in protecting the rights of heritage Americans, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, that's their term. Right? It's not like a sphere that we throw around. I mean, this is the way they talk about it. This is the way they act, and this is the sort of energy that Katie Miller was somewhat imprudently channeling on Piers today.
Good luck, America.